This is Lead 1212, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Now here's Chris and Dave.
How are you? I am at my house. You will hear anything and everything, I promise. It's going to be an exciting podcast today. I've been down in my back. Appreciate all the prayers and the prayers that I'm still going to get. Hey, Chris, what are we talking about today?
Hey, Dave, and I want to reiterate that Dave is down in his back so he can really use the prayers. Today, we're talking about traits of awesome Christian leaders. Dave, Wayne, have you guys ever worked with or close to an awesome Christian leader?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing, and you can really learn a lot from them. So we've got 8 traits that we want to go over. These are the things that awesome Christian leaders share, and if you want to be an awesome Christian leader, these are things you can work on. The first one sounds pretty simple. Everyone must be treated with dignity and respect. You guys agree or disagree?
I agree.
100%. Yeah, and I think, though, you say that, and sometimes that's easier said than done.
It can be tough.
Because sometimes in leadership, you may not agree with someone. That doesn't mean they're wrong. It means you need to try to figure it out and respect that what they're saying to you.
It does.
If you don't respect what they're saying to you, you're toast.
You're exactly right. And there's a deeper level to this, too. I've worked with someone. I've worked with a lot of people like this, but I've worked with someone at times was so morally corrupt, it was just difficult to respect that person. They were, seems like, doing all the wrong things intentionally. And it can be difficult to respect them. Wayne, have you ever worked with anyone like that?
Sure have.
And go ahead.
I'll be honest, Chris. One of the things that, for me, I left a church because of poor leadership. And I started a church because I wanted to find great leadership.
Wow. Yeah.
But that's hard. And some people say, you should have just, don't reinvent the wheel. But you know what? Sometimes we need a fresh look at things and bringing in people that are like-minded, not just to agree with you, but that your vision is equal to the task. Does that make sense, Chris?
It does. And I was looking at 1 Peter 2:17. It says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So how do we honor all people if we just believe some people aren't worthy? If they're so morally corrupt and such a bad or evil person, how do we honor those people?
Well, Paul says in Philippians 2:3, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, and that's a key word, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. It's looking at someone and saying, God can use them just like God can use me. And we, even if in Philippians, it talks about people that were preaching for the wrong reason, and yet God still says, listen to what they're doing and know that you're in the right. Just trust what God's given you leadership wise. And if it's not backed up, eventually God will get you back on track.
Amen. Wayne, what's your secret for respecting someone that at a core level, you feel is just not worthy of respect?
King David was a perfect example of this.
Oh, good one. Yes.
Because he had every reason to go after Saul and had at least 2 opportunities to kill him.
He sure did.
And he wouldn't, because God had anointed him to be the king over Israel.
Amen.
So his focus was in the right place.
Yes.
So if our focus is in the right place, we'll be able to act accordingly. If not, it's a problem.
Yeah, I agree. It's in humility where we find Jesus in those moments where we humble ourselves and realize that nothing, God is everything. And because God is everything, he makes me something.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
It's also helpful to remember that we are no better. We were at one point no better.
That's so true.
Than anybody else.
That's so true.
We're all a mess.
Yeah. Can we all agree that even at a most basic level, we can dignify and respect people by recognizing their value as human beings created in the image of God?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great, Chris. Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
So sometimes what that can be difficult, but we got to keep that in mind. What do you think, Wayne?
Yeah, it's
completely accurate.
So that's number one. I think we got a little bit of a deep conversation on that.
You guys, it's going to be a long one. I'm excited.
I am too.
The second one. Stick with this.
Go ahead. What's that, Dave?
Oh, I said, just stick with us. And then I saw, we're doing this via Zoom, and I just saw Wayne's hand just jump in there and wave at me.
No, that was Thing from the Addams Family. He's here in the studio with us. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this medicine that they've been giving me might be messing with me more than I thought.
Oh, sorry. My gosh.
We're going to have fun today. Yes. Keep going. I got you.
So the second trait of awesome Christian leaders is an easy one. High moral standards. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals.
That's a great scripture. Yeah. And it's a scripture that we run from, or we sometimes use it as an excuse. Either way, we got to be careful. We need to realize, you know, it's, I guess the leadership word is someone toxic. And if they're toxic, you can't be around that. I agree. But that's harder than it sounds to not be around that when they're right in your face and in leadership, or because where you work, that's a problem. And I think, Chris, you probably dealt with that more than I have, because in church leadership, you can pick and choose a little bit more. But when you hire people, you got to find people that are like-minded and on the same page. Does that make sense?
It does. It's absolutely true. So number three. An awesome Christian leader every day has positive attitudes, positive behaviors, and positive interactions every single day. Will you agree with that?
100%.
Yep.
One of those is hope. Proverbs 17:22 tells us a joyful heart is good medicine, but crushed spirit dries up the bones. So if we've got a joyful heart, we can be good medicine to ourselves and those around us.
Chris, you're good at that. You check on me during this season that I've had. You make sure I'm doing all right. I think I love Barnabas. And even when he and Paul had issues, they came back and were able to agree, because I think Barnabas, his spirit was just open to whatever God wanted. And I think the biggest thing was him. He's known as an encourager. Absolutely. And that's building other people up, not building yourself up. I think sometimes we want to advance.
Oh yeah.
More than want to grow people and have a successful team.
Absolutely. And I just want to clarify, you said Barnabas and not Barabbas, right?
I'm telling you, this medicine. Yeah, I did say Barnabas. And in the Greek, it means son of encouragement.
Yes.
Not anything else, just son of encouragement.
So I thought of one other positive attitude and behavior that an awesome Christian leader has to have, and that's faith. And I was thinking about this, and I found Joshua 1:9 that says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen. And that goes back to your second point too. Integrity only grows your faith. When you're doing the right things, your faith will grow. When you're not, and someone will say, well, where do I find the right things? The Word of God.
Amen.
That's simple. We as leaders have one of the greatest leadership examples that we can have in the Word of God. We just gotta examine it and look at leaders like Nehemiah and how he was able to build the things that he built.
Good example. Wayne, I want to call you out on this one. I have seen you many times demonstrate great faith. So what's your secret for that?
Oh, that's not really a secret when you've done as many stupid things as I have.
Oh my.
And you don't have any choice but to live in that to get through.
I don't want to hear that.
It makes it
a little bit easier.
Encouraging,
faithful dudes.
He really is.
And I don't know what I'd do without. I'm very grateful for Wayne and the way that he ministers people just by listening to what they're going through. He hears things and you don't realize he hears them at the time, but then he asks you about it later and he really does hear it.
And one of my favorite things about him is he sees things from a completely different perspective than I see things. And he comes up with things that are so genius, so wonderfully encouraging and on the just perfectly on the spot that I could never come up with. And I think he's not only highly intelligent and highly educated, but I think he's just a wonderful person and he knows the Word of God inside and out.
I agree. And he loves to examine the Word of God.
He does. Yes.
I don't know if examine's the right word. He loves to read it.
No. Not blushing.
I remember once, and I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to. We were in a church meeting. It was after, and we were talking about, we were going to have a series of marriage counseling events. And it seemed like the men were on one side and the women were on the other side. And the men were saying, well, women do this. And the women were saying, well, men always do this. And just out of the blue, Wayne came up with, and he said, we always look at what the other person's doing, but what we don't see is sometimes they may just be barely hanging on. And I thought, wow, that is so deep. I bet you don't even remember that, do you?
I don't. But I'm usually the one barely hanging on.
That's something I haven't forgotten.
You were going to say, I'm usually the one that's deep.
No, I'm barely hanging on.
So let's talk about another trait. And this one is a very difficult one for almost everyone. And it's take a stand for what is right, not what is convenient. And I've got a story to tell about this, but I want to hear from Wayne and Dave. What do you think about that? Take a stand for what's right, not what's convenient.
Oh, yeah. And I think in our society that we live in right now, Jeff preaches every week, there are so many sin things that they want us to accept in the world. And whether it's government, whether it's going to happen, we should know that, because that's ultimately what the devil's goal has been the whole time, is to get as many people away from God that he can. And so we need to work with everything we have to be people who not only believe the word, but trust the word.
Amen. William, what do you think?
I think the key part of being able to do that is just an anointing from the Holy Spirit to give you some wisdom and discernment to know what actions and what speech to use and to do.
See, proving my point right there. You're deal coming up with something so deep, I would never get there.
Because not every issue requires like an aggressive response.
Amen.
Some issues, abstaining from something is just as important as telling somebody that it's whatever they're doing is wrong for whatever reason.
I see that.
Let me share this with you. And my heart goes out to this person. And there may be either of you two have been through this, and maybe the people listening have been through this. But I recently spoke with someone who told me his greatest struggle with faith is, and there's no shame in this, it's being afraid to address their position on hot button issues for fear of backlash. And the bad thing was, I didn't even have to ask them why or what the issue was, because I know how difficult it is. And I know how difficult it is to be persecuted. I understand how unjust it is to be overlooked, and it can be an overwhelming response. And I've got to say this, the adversary appears, and the keywords appears, to be stronger, and makes it look like there's such a high cost for this.
That's good. That's really good. I think we have to work really hard on, it's okay not to be, you know, the most popular or the best thinker or the best leader. We have to do is be the best Christian or the best Christian. That's the only thing that matters, Chris.
Yes.
And when we're following Jesus, you know, it's hard, because I don't know about you all, but I like when people like me. It's fun.
Yeah.
I want a pat on the back. I love that voice, but that can't be what I live for. What I live for is ultimately someday I'm going to stand before God the Father.
Yes.
And I've got to make sure that I know that I'm living it here. So when I stand before him there, that Jesus says, this one's with me. And I'm going to yell to the mountain, I'm with that guy right there. I'm with my Jesus.
Amen.
And I get in, and all God's people say,
amen.
There it is.
There we go.
I wonder where they were. That's good.
They were a little late. So I've got some verses here, and I'm just going to say the verse number. And if you're listening, you can look these up. But we have a duty in Christ to be strong. That's Ephesians 6:10. We have a duty to fight. That's 2 Timothy 4:7. We have a duty to separate, that's 2 Corinthians 6:17, and to be courageous, Joshua 1:9. We have a duty to suffer, and that's a tough one, 1 Peter 3:17, and we have a duty to be persecuted and hated, John 15:18. We all have a duty to stand for what's right and spread the gospel, that's Mark 16:15. And I know the adversaries are loud, and they seem great in number. And I know they won't come to reason, or they won't even fight a fair fight. They are boastful and proud of their sin. Nevertheless, Christ is within us, and he is greater. And that's Deuteronomy 10:17.
What's that last one you said?
Deuteronomy 10:17.
The one right before. Yeah, the one right before Deuteronomy.
Mark 16:15.
And what is the point of that? I want to hear it again.
We have a duty to stand for righteousness and spread the gospel.
Yeah, that's hard because our society right now is going against a lot of things, and I'll push them. We need to stand up against abortion.
Yes. But
we need to loudly proclaim that couples are men and women.
Amen.
And I know that offends and I know that stresses you out, but I can't be worried about that because that's not between me and you. It's between you and God.
Amen to
that.
And
so as leaders, I got to realize it's between them, not between me. And I'm going to do my best to show them the right way, God's way.
That's beautiful. Amen.
I don't know if it's beautiful, but
I loved it. Yeah.
I'll take it.
Moving on to the fifth trait is you have to take a stand for yourself. And when I was researching this, I found God gives strength to his people. He enables them to be courageous through his gift of faith. And God proves himself faithful in his promises to enable his people to trust him every day.
That's good.
Dave, can you trust God every day? Let's put it away. Can you trust God every day?
Every day.
Every day. All right. Number six is to be truthful and upright. You have to be faithful to your word. And a lot of times I find myself listening to Chuck Swindoll, and here's what he says. There is a rare breed of man that is almost extinct, whether an executive or an apprentice, a student or a teacher, a blue collar or a white collar worker, and a Christian or a pagan. Rare indeed are those who keep their word.
Amen. That's good.
The second part
I think that's it right there.
It is. Yeah.
Swindoll was good. I like him and Wiersbe. I go old school too, so I appreciate that.
In Numbers 30, verse 2, when a man takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. There's no outs on that. If you take a pledge or an oath, you've got to do it.
Agreed.
Here's a good one. This is still following on being truthful and upright. Judge yourself on keeping your word. And I'm going to ask these questions and I'm not looking for answers. And I like the people out there listening to think about this. When you say to someone, I will pray for you, do you?
Amen.
When you tell someone they can depend on you to help them out, can they? When you say you're going to be there at such and such a time, are you? And when you obligate yourself to pay a debt on time, do you? It's all good things to think about. And I'm as guilty as all of those as anyone else.
I am too. I think anything you do for Christ, you always have to reevaluate yourself every once in a while. And I don't like to do that because that means when I reevaluate myself, sometimes I see the mistakes and the stupidity that I have.
Yes.
And trust me, we have it, right? Chris, we all deal with that.
Absolutely
right?
Do. We yep. Absolutely do.
And here's the key to that. Learn from it. No, don't stay in it. Don't beat yourself up because of it, but also don't be able to say that's just me and make an excuse for it. Do what you can to get right before Jesus.
Amen.
And make up the rest.
Amen. So here's number seven. Help those around you because relationships and services are central to life. You guys agree or disagree with that?
I agree.
I know another story on Wayne, like I haven't told anything enough about him. Tell me if this is true, Wayne. I heard you were at a local store that got really busy, and without asking anyone, you just jumped in and started helping, and you don't work there.
That was accurate. Annie started it.
Yeah.
And then I just started doing something else.
Isn't that amazing? Wayne, he was in the store.
Awesome.
Wayne was in a store that a friend owns, a brother in Christ owns, and they got busy. So they start jumping behind the counter and helping.
Wow. That's a great example. And I think Wayne does live it out. I think
he does.
Hopefully me and you do too, Chris, but we do. So I see it with Wayne. I really do.
I've got a long way to go to be in the league with him.
Me too, brother. Me too.
Hebrews 13:16 says, do not forget to do good and share with others. For such sacrifices, God is pleased. So you're pleasing God when you're doing that. How does that feel? That's awesome, isn't it?
It's incredible.
If you want to make a difference in anybody's life, you actually got to be in it.
That's so true. And that's a great saying.
That's really good. Say that again.
If you want to make a difference in somebody's life, you got to be in it.
So true.
It's really good.
So now let's move on to the last one. And I've got a little bit to say about this one, but it's an easy one to explain. do everything with passion. What do you think about that? Agree or disagree?
I agree. And here's the thing, though. There are things, though, that you're going to do that you may not be interested in it. Even if God's called you to do it, you've got to find a way to plug yourself.
Boy,
does that make sense?
That's true.
And when you plug yourself in, you get passionate about it because you believe in it, not because of you, but because of what God's called you to be.
Amen. Wayne, do you agree or disagree? So we're all sports fans. What happens on a sports team when one person gets out on the field or on the floor and they start playing with such passion? It's contagious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the team starts to pick that up and they start trying harder and they start playing better.
Absolutely. And I think good leadership attracts good leaders. When your leadership is good, it attracts those who want to be leaders because they're following and they're learning from you. And the good news is you need to learn from them as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So I'm supposed to do everything that I do like I'm doing it for God. And that gives me passion. Good. Wayne, what are you passionate about?
Gosh, I don't know.
Teaching. You're an excellent teacher. Dave, what are you passionate about?
I am passionate about the church.
Amen.
I love it. What's funny, there's other things I'm passionate about. I love, I get to announce at the girls' softball game. I love baseball and softball. That's okay. But can you use that to be positive in someone's life? Can you use that to be Jesus in someone's life? It doesn't have to be just what you do. It can be the things that you also have fun with. And I think we sometimes don't think we're allowed to have fun as Christians. That's a sad thing when we come to that conclusion.
It is. So here's the question. What should a Christian be passionate about? And I've got four items on this, but I would love to hear from you guys. What should a Christian be passionate about?
Dave, you go.
Throw Dave under the bus.
that's okay. I can take it. I've been run over twice this week.
Gosh.
Back to the question that I've already forgotten.
That's a twofer.
What kind of cheese? Oops.
All right. What should a Christian be passionate about?
I'm with you. I think a Christian should be passionate about his relationship with Christ. I think, or his or for her relationship with Christ.
Amen.
I think he should be passionate about his family. And I think he should be passionate about the church. And I think you should be passionate about those are the four things I got.
Absolutely right. Wayne, what's something you think of a Christian should be passionate about?
I'm going to take three of Dave's.
Okay.
Can't have them.
I think they should be passionate about Jesus.
Amen.
Passionate about their family.
Amen.
Passionate about worship.
Yes.
And passionate about the word.
Amen. We got it. That's a good one.
Maybe two of them.
That's a great one.
So I've got four, and I knew you guys were going to list those, but I've got four, and you tell me if you agree or disagree with this. First, a Christian should hate evil. Absolutely hate evil. I know we struggle with the term hate, and we like to say we dislike, but when it comes to evil, that's not strong enough. God desires we hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to despise evil. Agree or disagree?
Agree. How many points in the scripture does it tell us to run away from that stuff?
Yes.
I love when Joseph was faced with the great sin of Potiphar's wife.
Yes.
He didn't just stay there and try to rationalize it. He didn't say, what I need to do here is use that example. He ran. That's what he did.
Yeah.
He ran. He got out of there because he knew it was evil and he got away from it. Sometimes we need to drop what we're doing if it's not from God and run from it.
Amen.
No, sorry. That's a good one for me.
It is. And I'm very passionate about this one too. And I worried about that I would come across too passionate on this. And then maybe that's a good thing. Proverbs.
And then I gave me more passionate.
Proverbs 8:13 tells us, I despise pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverted mouth. And I really think it's past time for Christians to hate evil. Now, let me clarify that. I'm not saying we should hate evil people. We should want no part of their ways. It's not welcome in our homes. It's not welcome in our school. And it's not welcome in our mind.
Yeah. It's become kind of cliche, but I think it's really something that we do need to think on. You don't hate the sinner, you hate the sin.
Absolutely.
And And I know we hear that, but I think there's a reality there if we can actually put it into practice and not just say, well, that's what everybody says. I get that, but I think it's really important that we truly hate the sin. Whatever that sin is, we need to despise it, but love the person.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The second one I've got is we need to cling to what is good. And sometimes as Christians, we water this down. We like what is good, but I don't think that's strong enough. We need to stick to it like glue. We must be so committed to good that we're inseparable. Paul says we are to examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Things like Bible study, fellowship, prayer, worship services are good, and we need to be glued to those.
Agreed.
Wayne, we have a small Bible group study that I think we're all glued to. We've had this for over a year now.
Yep, pushing a year and a half.
A year and a half. We meet every Tuesday, and I love these people like family. It's a wonderful relationship we've all developed.
Well, it's all intentional.
Yes.
You know, passion is intentional, just like love is intentional.
You're exactly right. That's a very good point. So the third one is what you just mentioned exactly. Be devoted to one another. And a lot of times we're not. Christians need to learn to be devoted to each other in brotherly love. And that doesn't mean you tolerate each other for a couple of days during the week for worship. It means you're family. You're passionate about helping, serving, teaching, and here's a tough one, admonishing each other. When you see a brother in danger of losing his soul, do you gossip about it or do you go talk to him?
I agree.
And I'm talking church. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, one of my favorite people was a guy named Bob Russell, and he was the minister for years at Southeast Christian Church. Now he just travels and speaks, but he's amazing. And he said this: when you begin to radiate the abundant life in Christ, you're able to make Christ more attractive to your children and to those you meet in the marketplace.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
That's the goal, right? That's the goal. Where we need to be at. So
I've got one more, and I know we're just a little long on this one, but we need to be passionate, and both of you guys named this one, about serving the Lord. Paul says not to be lagging in diligence and to be fervent in our service. And if you look that up, the word fervent means to be boiling over. And to people listening, can you say you're boiling over in your service to God? 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul wrote, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work for the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Can everyone out there say that you're always abounding in the work of the Lord? Or when was the last time you honestly wore yourself out in service to the King? If you're not busy, it's time to get busy. You're never more useful than when you're selflessly serving the Lord with everything you have.
Amen. You need to push that button. So right here is amen.
How's that? We'll go. Oh, look what started. Here it comes. Oh, no.
Oh, come on now.
Wayne, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree.
Very good.
Deep thoughts.
All right, Dave, I think we've wrapped this one up. You want to take us out?
Let me close it with this. Again, another one of my authors that I like to read his stuff, Ragamuffin Gospel is one of many books it's not for everybody, but
it
was
that book.
For me. Brennan Manning says this: my deepest awareness of myself is that I am deeply loved by Jesus Christ, and I have done nothing to earn it or deserve it. Stand in awe of Jesus.
Amen.
Then you can be the leadership he's calling you to be. You can be the leader he's calling you to be. And so I challenge you, Chris and I double dog dare you, Wayne and us better do it. Watch what happens. I hope you guys have a great week. Thanks for putting up with us today. Have a great day.
This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them, and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.